Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It's that time of year where we go through the traditional, or a look at the traditional Thanksgiving, and this is the time of year we actually challenge you to actually look at what the first Thanksgiving really was as a nation. You have to understand that there were 13 independent and sovereign nations, and each of them had their own traditions. And we are going to challenge the fact of, you know, what was the first Thanksgiving to be true. What we have to do is we have to look at the historical side of things. But I just want you to understand that what we're doing here is not to necessarily insult family tradition. It's to challenge what the purpose of this holiday is. I have said many times before, if you look at all of the holidays we celebrate, the most righteous holiday this nation celebrates is Thanksgiving. Christmas is really more of a hodgepodge of, what do you want to call it? It's not Puritans. It starts with the P, pagan. Christmas is a pagan holiday that was enveloped into, or I should say Christianity, kind of was laced and intertwined with these pagan rituals, pagan holiday that was very problematic. So we're going to get into that on Christmas Eve. But today being Thanksgiving Eve, we wanted to give you the insights, what we hope. And this show will be on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, Red State Talk Radio podcast. And if you go and pull up today's show, you'll be able to play it tomorrow, because that's what we're going to be airing tomorrow as well. Not that I couldn't do a live show, but I would like to see many constitutionalists and conservatives actually, you know, go home and challenge, or at least not challenge, but, you know, help the family start to understand that how would we be as a nation if, instead of having football and gorging ourselves with food and so forth and thanking for our, you know, the good things of the year, the blessings of the year, and pray that the next year is equally good? Or maybe what we should be doing is what the framers intended in our very first Thanksgiving under the Constitution for the United States. So anywho, you know the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you also know that you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. Hope you listened to the show on Rumble yesterday, Freedom, Not Tyranny, and I'm hoping that you kind of get engaged that way. Now, what we want to do is we want to actually provide you with equal content and so forth. If you've got questions, you want to do a call in, because at 2 o'clock it might be a good time. And we do get phone calls. By the way, the phone calls we do get, the phone calls I get, really are more from people that want to know how they can get involved. There's nothing wrong with that. And what I do is I reach out. When you leave those phone calls, give me your email address. And if I would rather you do a follow-up or actually send me an email. The email address is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can find it on the website. So it would be easier if you just emailed me, so that I could then, you know, and email me where you are. Let me know the county or the state, you know, the part of the state that you live in, if you don't want to. And I don't need to know any of your personal information. I don't care. What I will do is I will not put you on a spam list at all. I don't send out newsletters other than to state legislators regarding the Constitution and other leaders, but I don't have an email newsletter, so you're not going to get spam from me. So if you send me an email, we will send you the guides and who you can contact with your county and or state to getting involved with the Constitution Party, getting involved with the National Liberty Alliance, getting involved with the We the People Foundation, and so forth. This way, you're already going to be getting connected to you know, some big top-notch organizations, at least, you know, at least very powerful mind, if you want to call it a mind bank of resources and so forth, of people that just have the, you know, the solutions, the leadership, and what we need to help give you what you need to build your constitutional county. Anyway, if you are wondering whether you have determined that you're too thin-skinned or too insensitive, kind of like to hear your comments on that as well. But let's move forward with some of the obligatories. Actually, these aren't obligatories. These are pleasures for me to do. I truly believe in Gary Smith as being a financial coach and his Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you are ready to actually start making those changes, if you're ready to make probably one of the more important decisions you'll ever make in your life, other than your marriage, other than, you know, your conversion to Christ, your accepting Christ, your the birth of your children, probably more important than your choice for your career or occupation. Understanding and becoming disciplined and taking full control of your finances as a person, as a family, and so forth is very important. So if you're ready to become disciplined, then reach out to Fortitude Financial Coaching. And please think about this between now and the end of the year so that you can actually use the end of the year motivation of making changes mean something to you. Make meaningful changes with your life. You can get those free constitution classes. And as a matter of fact, I can tell you that what Keith Broders offers on the constitutioneducation.us is different ways and different types of training that helps people in, you know, in their, the way people learn, the way people think, it's all different, right? So Keith actually offers different ways of how you can learn about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and our founding documents. And so check out constitutioneducation.us, timbernation.com. Are you ready to get that heirloom and start breaking it in and actually giving it its, what do they call that, distress? You know, as furniture that's been kind of antique because it's old, it's been banged around, but it hasn't been really damaged. But anyway, if you go look at Timber Nation, is the one thing that really amazes people when they see the furniture that we've got, that 2-inch thick, solid walnut, that 2-inch thick, solid oak, 2-inch thick, solid walnut, or not walnut, maple. So these hard woods, it's just beautiful. If you like wood, and if you actually like real wood, then you will love TimberNation.com. Go check them out. I know they're very busy, and I know that they're getting business because I've already been told that they've had people call saying, hey, GR's recommended you. So anyway, if you're looking for Christmas, you probably won't get it because they're about 2 months out of making your product for you. That's how they do it. It's all special order. So you have to really think in advance. Kind of told you that you really wanted to do it months ago if you were looking for Christmas. So anywho, go get yourself some good quality, long-lasting hardwood furnishings for your home. RadioDustCovers.com. This is where you can actually protect those really expensive pieces of equipment, the electronics that you have that is susceptible to dust, pet dander, or smoke. More appropriately, smoke, because if you have a fire or even if you smoke, the ash and that, if you want to call it soot that gets in the air, well, that as that settles on your electronics, it actually is more damaging than anything else. So this is why you want to protect these investments when you spend that kind of money on that kind of electronics. Yet want to be able to protect those things. So check these guys out, and as a matter of fact, I hope and I pray that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope that you can find time to give service to Him as this nation intended us to do, is to recognize Him, what He had given us, and to serve Him for a day. But anywho, we'll get into all of that Let me see. I got a minute and a half, so I'm going to go ahead and dive into the first Thanksgiving, or what we believe to be. That's right, what we believe to be the first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims who celebrated Thanksgiving in America were fleeing from religious persecution. I think most people kind of understand the backstory, but most people really understand what happened after they got here. A lot of people don't know what it was that led to their coming here. Just so you can understand that there was indentured servitude, if you want to call it slavery, in every single colony to one form or another. So this is why we want to give you this glimpse of American history. So the pilgrims who celebrated Thanksgiving in America were fleeing religious persecution in England. In 1609, a group of pilgrims left England for the religious freedom in Holland. They lived and prospered. After a few years, though, their children started speaking Dutch and became attached to the Dutch way of life. I guess they like those wood clog shoes. Anyway, this worried the pilgrims, the parents of these children. They considered the Dutch frivolous and their ideas a threat to their children's education and morality. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We're going to finish up, you know, what brought the pilgrims to America. And then we're going to get into what I'm going to show you is America's first Thanksgiving. So with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so back to a historical perspective of the Pilgrim Thanksgiving. So on September 6th, I just jumped over a whole month, or I should say a whole paragraph, actually several years. So they decided to leave Holland because they were seeing this influence on their children from the Dutch society that they just didn't like. Now you gotta understand, the pilgrims were not very tolerant. The Puritans, I should say, were not very tolerant towards people of different faiths. I mean, if you started branching off, let's say you believed in and you were a part of the Puritan faith and you embraced it, and then you started making any minute changes, you were almost found heretical and were cast out. I mean, that's how some of these other American religions were founded, is because they kind of spawned out of the Puritan area, like the Southern Baptist, the Baptist faith. It was slowly migrated into the Southern Baptist, but the Baptist faith actually came from and was a byproduct of the Puritan faith. But anyhow, so they decided to leave Holland to the New World. Their trip was financed by a group of English investors called the Merchant Adventurers. It was agreed that the pilgrims would be given passage and supplies in exchange for their work for their backers for 7 years. On September 6th, 1620, the pilgrims set sail for the New World on this ship that everybody knows as the Mayflower. I actually had, I believe, there was two different, my heritage, I came from two different families that were on the Mayflower. Anywho, they sailed from Plymouth, England, and aboard were 44 pilgrims who called themselves the Saints, and 66 others who called themselves who the pilgrims called the Strangers. The long trip was cold and damp, and it took 65 days. Since there was the danger of fire on the wooden ship, the food had to be eaten cold. Many passengers became sick, and one person died by the time land was sighted on November 10th. November. And I said, who thought it was a good idea to set sail for a northern latitude country in the middle of, or going into the beginning of winter, especially if you didn't have all the stores to, you know, the meats and foods to, you know, sustain you till you could actually break ground and have a harvest in the New World. So anyway, the long trip led to many disagreements between the Saints and the Strangers. After land was sighted, a meeting was held and agreement was worked out called the Mayflower Compact. Some people have heard of that, or they kind of remember that, which guaranteed equality and unified the two groups. They joined together and they called themselves the Pilgrims. So prior to that, the Puritans were really, and they became the Puritan faith later, but they, for sake of argument purposes, from the Saints and the Strangers, they were all called Pilgrims. Although they had first sighted land off Cape Cod, they did not settle until they arrived at Plymouth, and which was named by Captain John Smith in 1614. So several years before, this spot in the New England area called Plymouth. And so that's where they landed, and it was there where the Pilgrims decided to settle. Plymouth offered an excellent harbor. A large brook offered a source of fresh fish and fresh water. And the Pilgrims' biggest concern was attack by the local Native Americans. But the Puxtons were a peaceful group and did not prove to be a threat. And so we kind of know the rest of the history, but that's what got them there. Most people knew the religious, but most people didn't know that, you know, the majority of the group was really non-believers or non-saints. Anywho, and I think most people know the story of the tragedy of the commons, how many of the people were stealing. And so right there in the old Puritan capital, in the very beginning, socialism failed, and that was called the tragedy of the commons. Anyway, the real first American Thanksgiving actually happened in Virginia, and it was actually before the Pilgrims had arrived, so it was like 2 years before the Pilgrims enjoyed their Thanksgiving. Captain John Woodleaf conducts the first American Thanksgiving upon safe arrival in Virginia. And, oh, by the way, it's kind of interesting how the Puritans themselves were founded on indentured servitude all the way up there. On December 4th, or actually, let me just state the obvious, right? Contrary to popular belief, the first American Thanksgiving was in Virginia, not Plymouth, Massachusetts. On December 4th, 1619, after 10 weeks at sea, 38 English settlers arrived at Berkeley, about 20 miles upstream from Jamestown. On that day, Captain John Woodleaf held the first service of Thanksgiving as the newly landed settlers fell to their knees to thank God for their safe arrival. Now, this was in December. December is not a good time to be coming here, especially if you don't have stores. The Charter of Berkeley Hundred stated, "We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for Planticon in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." Thus, the first real American Thanksgiving was held before the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and 2 years before the fabled New England feast. Historians say that the feast at Berkeley Hundred may have included bacon, peas, cornmeal, cakes, and cinnamon water. But regardless of the menu to these settlers, the first Thanksgiving was much more than turkey and pumpkin pie. It was all about prayer. After several years, the site became Berkeley Plantation and was the long traditional home of the Harrison family, one of the first families of Virginia. Berkeley Plantation was the birthplace of William Henry Harrison, the ninth president, and Benjamin Harrison, the fifth, signer of the Declaration of Independence. It also was the ancestral home of Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president of the United States. And so I want you to understand, hey, there was actually a first American Thanksgiving, but it really wasn't about feasting. It was really about prayer. Now, the Pilgrim Thanksgiving was really more of a bountiful harvest and a celebration of a relationship that the Pilgrims were able to create with Squanto, the Native Americans, and so forth. And so as we start looking at, you know, what is it that we're doing, what I want you to see is that America actually had these two regional historical traditions that they at their founding. So these traditions were revered at a local level. So as we move forward into the United States, I think that there was a desire by George Washington. And actually, as we get into this, you're going to understand that it was a unanimous call by Congress. And when I say a unanimous call, it was 100% of all the congressmen that were in the first session of Congress all called upon Washington and asked him to create a day or to proclaim a day of thanksgiving. And so that proclamation is what we read, and that proclamation was what should be setting the tone for the American, under this constitutional republic, the American Thanksgiving that we all should recognize. So how is it that we all of a sudden created or clung to the Puritan? Now, you know, when most people look, especially the progressives, when they look at spots of history, the Puritans is not something that people look in favor of, but there was a reason why the progressives kind of liked it, because it was the first attempt on American soil of a socialistic government. Everything was to be equally shared. Everybody was to have an equal share of everything produced. And it wasn't until later, after the tragedy of the Commons, where I think it was Bradford was the one that actually said, hey, we're going to make it so that everybody, you know, you can keep your own crops and we're going to start trading and everybody, you know, was responsible for feeding themselves. Because they realized that there were too many slackers and not enough producers. And so now the slackers had to actually produce. And thus they curbed the entitlement state after being, I would say, subjected to some real harsh losses of people, harsh winters, and so forth. So, you know, when we look at the history of the Pilgrims and you go, well, why is it that the progressives like that? Well, I can tell you the one thing that they liked about it was the paradigm of everybody being equal and everybody sharing everything. Well, the reality is that as the Puritans grew, they became very intolerant towards heathens. They would cast you out. They would, if you were living there and you started teaching heretical, you know, antithetical doctrine to the Puritan doctrine, you were gone. You were basically kicked out. And guess what? You didn't get your property. You just basically, what you could carry out with you is that's all you had and that's all you got. And so many people had to, I shouldn't say many, but there were at least two cases where I know the two people were kicked out that actually spawned their own new religion. Now, we kind of move forward a century plus into what we call the Revolution and into this new 13 independent states and colonies and how we've grown to this point of creating the Constitutional Republic. And with that, we will get into that when we come back from these two breaks, or these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so we look today at our government. We look today at the paradigm of people. And I have to ask you, you know, how is it that we are now looking at what I would call a Thanksgiving holiday and be attuned to the spirit of what Thanksgiving really meant? Because to be honest with you, to be clear, I do not see this service as to being congruent with what the progressives want. As a matter of fact, I'm just kind of surprised that the woke society hasn't really started attacking the origins of the Puritan holiday. And I think one of the reasons why it's a kind of hands-off is because, well, there were socialistic roots in the first Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, that's when they were celebrating supposedly the perfect society where all people were equal, that all people shared, you know, everybody was, you know, it was an open society supposedly. But it was a society that was destined to be destroyed because of the nature of man, where people, you know, wanted to steal from others and not have to work, where they were enabled to actually have bad behavior. It was only when they shifted their paradigm onto holding everybody accountable for, you know, obtaining what they needed. I don't think there was a point in time where there was, you know, widows or people that were so destitute because of something that they just didn't take care of them. I don't think that was the case. I think those people were brought in because, you know, you can't even tend to your own fire and do the back in those days, you had to work to survive. And so shucking some of your responsibilities of growing food and stealing it from the common fields, well, that was a little bit different, which is why Bradford ended up dividing property to say, okay, you get this part. This is yours. And I'm not surprised that, you know, fences and partitions and division was created to protect property. That little fundamental right that we all have in protecting our property, protecting our life. And so when we look at, you know, the Thanksgiving that we have today and this beautiful meal that everybody goes to great lengths to focus on, let's focus on what the framers actually did when they established this new general government that was designed to serve the republic and serve the people. Not in a way of entitlements, not in a way of anything other than securing their rights and protecting them from harm from external forces. So the first Thanksgiving of the United States under the U.S. Constitution was proclaimed by George Washington in his first Thanksgiving proclamation. And it was called Proclamation, a National Thanksgiving. And so, again, I want to point out that this was a unanimous call from both houses of Congress that called upon George Washington, the president, to declare a national thanksgiving. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested to me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, what I want to point out here is here it is that he's also laying out, because first off, it was recommended, and the first thing he says is that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits and protection, and implore His protection and favor. And then he gets into this, you know, this fact that the Almighty God afforded them the opportunity to create with, you know, having peace at this point in time, to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness, something that protected their inalienable rights and their liberties. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that is good, that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. for the signal and manifold mercies and the favor, able interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety, and particularly the national one now instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. So let's look at this. Yeah, they didn't have national sports, and actually sporting and competing in the Olympics and those types of things, that just wasn't important. It wasn't there. They didn't allow themselves to be consumed by gratification, by all sorts of, you know, I'll just call them distractions. You know, there may have been some gambling, but it was not like what we see today. And I will tell you, friends, that those times may have been hard, but they were simpler, and it was much easier to stay on the right road. Not that there weren't temptations, I'm sure there were, but not like today. Not like you're being bombarded from every direction, almost everywhere you go, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on TV, whether it's in the media or what have you. There are all sorts of temptations and misinformation to lead us astray. Our education system is actually indoctrinating and endorsing, you know, not only inappropriate, but absolute, you know, sinful manners and sinful behavior that we as a society, as an enlightened society, should never have embraced. We should have actually done everything we can to ensure that everybody was educated on how these things will destroy us. And now it has been unleashed, and we are now looking at our ultimate destruction. So as we look at today, and especially on Thanksgiving Day, with the national football games, the parades, what is it that you consume yourself with on this given day? And let's look at what they called us in this first national holiday that was assigned in the fourth Thursday of November, and it was devoted to the people of the states that they would give service to the great and glorious being. How do you do that? And so why? So the better piece of information you need to know is, why is it that they called for service instead of gorging on food, instead of having a huge banquet of plenty or anything like that? Why was it that it was a service? Because service is a sacrifice. Sacrifice is how you sanctify and purify something to make sure that it is righteous and good. And so when you receive something, you should, especially when you receive blessings or what have you, and they truly recognize this nation, the establishment of this nation was truly a blessing. Not only a blessing to them, but to their, they knew it would be, future generations would be blessed because of this. So they were so moved to call for a day of service to sanctify, one, the Constitution, and to sanctify this nation. So before I finish the rest of this, it is time for me to kind of lay it out there. What would this nation be like if once a year we actually took the time to thank him and to serve him like we're supposed to do every Sunday, but actually doing it, setting aside the one fourth Thursday of the month of November in the service of him, the being that gave us this nation that gave us our liberties and secured them as civil rights. Just think about where we would be as a society. Where would Antifa, BLM, and all these other groups be? We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's kind of close up here, because this is the last segment for today's episode. And so if you're really thinking about it, and as a matter of fact, I would ask you to take this proclamation that I'm reading. This is the last paragraph I've got, but I'd ask you if it anything else, if you don't play this show for Thanksgiving, print out this proclamation and read it to your family and point out to your family how, as a nation, we started off going in the right direction and how we're not going in the right direction today, because we're not giving thanks and we're not actually sanctifying this nation anymore. We're basically caught up in gluttony and pride and looking at how good we are when we, and it's not about how many people are suffering, it's about the blessings of liberty that we all share. And we need to put that into context. If you want to actually, you know, hit those thugs right in the mouth as to, you know, what they're trying to do to this nation, this very first proclamation, this Thanksgiving proclamation by George Washington, I believe, is a direct blow, because it helps people understand how we got here. It wasn't by coincidence or circumstance that, you know, people survived and created this, you know, union between Indians and so forth. No, it was by the complete blessings and the benefactor who he, our creator, gave us in creating this Constitution. Look at how blessed this nation has been. And look at how blessed this world has been because of this nation. There's lots of people that, you know, look at America's entanglements in some of these wars. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, any good person would have stood up against Hitler. Any good person should have stood up against Stalin, should have stood up against Lenin, should have stood up against Mao. We should have been in more wars against these ultimate communist fascist states that were created in the wake of what happened from World War II and actually what happened from World War I. And if you really look at it, it all began in Germany with Otto Bismarck establishing socialism in Germany as the first nation of the modern era, that it created an entitlement state that destroyed it economically. It was that that forced Germany to start taking drastic measures of expanding and reaching and crossing lines that led to that war. Germany would never have been in the position to actually go down that path. It was it was the true change of fascism and totalitarian statism in the world. So as Washington finishes this his final paragraph, he says, "And also that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually." I have to point out, properly and punctually, to do it on time. How many people do you know are procrastinators and you know, need to be told, you got to be here on time. You got to do these things on time. You know, it's kind of like when you hear people talking about, you know, paying their bills and they get their... I've never known a person... I've heard of people that have had their lights or their water, their services turned off because they just didn't pay their bills. Come on. What do you expect? Anyway... And that is an entitlement mentality where, you know, how dare you? Anyway, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity that he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October. Yeah, that's right, city of New York. That's where the seat of government was first set up. It was then moved to Philadelphia before it went to Washington, D.C. But it's interesting, isn't it, how the city of New York was the seat of government until they actually created the land by secession of states, Maryland and Virginia, what we call the District of Columbia or Washington, D.C. Now, as you look, how can your family benefit from the truth? How can your family benefit from acknowledging these paradigms, these concepts, that everything that we've had and all the blessings that we receive is through him? That the overarching blessing of our Constitution... Now, we're not being blessed because we're living under tyranny, my friends. But what would it be like if we actually had that umbrella that was protecting us, that we had public servants that were not trying to kill us, public servants that were trying to help us improve, that we would all have the opportunity to be enlightened and to be able to become more self-reliant and more self-secured? Wow, that's the antithetical of our government and our public servants' paradigms today. We didn't build that. Remember, Obama, you didn't build that. Well, actually, we did. Government didn't. Government had no responsibility, and government has no role in providing those. I want you to understand, and as I look, I got about 3 minutes. So as I look into these social media networks, especially Facebook, because that's really where I spend most of my time in trying to challenge these people that pass themselves as a constitutionalist. And it becomes very evident that they're actually not constitutionalists. They don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in the liquid living document theory, that the Constitution is controlled and in the hands of the federal government. These people are truly the soothsayers in getting us. And what a soothsayer is, a person that is deceiving us and lying to us, either using flattery in some ways and then telling us what things mean, and they make it sound like they know what they're talking about. I've been running into this one guy on Facebook. I can't say I detest the man. I know where he's coming from, and he is a very dubious person, and he is constantly trying to feed people this concept of this living document. I mean, so in today's, you know, diatribe with him, he's basically trying to convince people in this constitutional studies group that the Constitution created general powers, that the General Welfare and Defense Clause is a clause of general powers, where it was, those of you who've listened to the ratification debates, you know absolutely that is not true. As a matter of fact, it was Madison that stated that it's absurd to think that that preamble, that first start off of the enumerated powers, is a general statement. It is not a power. That the listing of it, basically, it, why would they need to list these powers afterwards? And so, you know, he's trying to help people understand that that's a preamble to help people understand the reason why we have these powers is for the general defense and welfare of the nation, not to grant a general power. It was cleared by Governor Randolph, by George Nicholas, by many of the Federalists in many of the states, that this Constitution does not possess general powers. They're enumerated powers, and that is it. And the General Welfare Clause is not an enumerated power. It is a preamble to the enumerated powers, and it is a preamble to help set the context of why these powers were being granted to the federal government, these specific powers. The General Welfare and Defense Clause granted no power at all. It was, again, only trying to help people understand why the following powers were being delegated. And so here's a guy that's actually telling people, and this is the same thing with Biden, it's the same thing with Harris, all of these dubious people are lying, and they're trying to destroy this nation. And we have very little time left, my friends. It is important that we start sanctifying our Constitution. It's important that we start sanctifying through service. And we can talk more about service and how we can start doing this moving forward on Friday. I hope you all have a blessed Thanksgiving. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Sincerely, God bless you and your family. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com for custom pricing.